open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the gospel writings of Matthew. We are now in Matthew chapter 18. Last week we stopped at verse 3. And we were looking on the qualities of a little child, because Jesus said, unless you become as humble like a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we are called to become like little children, not in understanding, as Paul said to the Corinthians, but in malice and in our childlike qualities, trusting, dependent, humble, accepting, transparent, unoffendable. Those qualities we need to have. We need to reconcile quickly, be hungry, hungry for the word of God, carefree, clinging, walk in freedom. A little child likes to be free. A little child is always innocent. So we have to have that purity of heart. We have to become imitators of Jesus Christ. Follow him. We have to become awestruck as to who our Savior is. So we have to become like little children to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we want to see God's kingdom manifested in our lives. So we have to yield to him daily and allow him to take charge of our everyday life. So we are going to pray and go into verse 4 of Matthew chapter 18. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your love. We thank you for allowing us, oh God, to be here, oh God Almighty, to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you'll continue to illuminate your word to us. You'll continue to keep us seated at your feet, Jesus, learning of you. Oh God, help us to know, Almighty God, that we are always in training. So I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we will not become frustrated on our training ground, but we will hear your word and purpose in our hearts to obey. Father God, we pray that your spirit of humility will rest upon us, oh God. We will be submitted to your word, Jesus. Oh God, your word says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So I pray for your spirit of submission to be upon us, that as we hear your word, oh God, we will purpose in our hearts to do them. Have your way among us, O God. We pray for those that are already saved, that you will keep them under your wings, Almighty God. Help them to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of you, Jesus. We pray for those that are not yet saved, that they will come to a saving knowledge of who you are, O God, that they will put their trust in you, Jesus. They will come as a little child, putting their trust in you, accepting you for who you are. Father God, we thank you again for who you are and what you're doing in this season, and we look to you by faith and give you thanks. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, and we say amen and amen. So we continue in Matthew 18, and we are at verse 4. The word said, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child. So Jesus continued to teach the disciples and to show them and to illustrate to them how they're truly going to enter God's kingdom. So Jesus said, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, people of God, this shows that the qualification for kingdom living is humility. The qualification for kingdom living is humility. Greatness comes through humility. So we cannot be proud and say that we are great. No, greatness comes through humility. Jesus makes sure that he points it out to the disciples. Whoever humbles himself as this little child. So we have to humble ourselves, people of God. Don't allow the Lord to humble you. Humble yourself. Whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So when we come with a humble mind, people of God, we will enter the kingdom of heaven. 1 Peter 5 verse 6 tells us, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we have to humble ourselves, people of God. Therefore, humble yourselves. So let us not ask the Lord to humble us, but let us come to that place to know that we have to submit to God's word. We have to come to that place of obedience to his word. We have to come to know that we are accountable to him. We are not our own God. When pride fill up our hearts, people of God, then we will believe that we are our own God. We're not accountable to anyone. But when we decide to walk in humility, we understand that we have to be submitted to God at all times. We have to come to understand that there is one who is greater than us. He is the supreme Lord of all, and he deserves the glory and praise. So we have to submit to him. We have to listen to his word and purpose in our hearts to obey. So Peter said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we see, people of God, we have to stay submitted to the word of God, and we will remain humble. We will remain humble. We don't want to be humble today and tomorrow. We're not humble. We want to remain humble. So we want to stay submitted to the word of God. We want to say, Lord, whatever you say we are to do, we will do. We want to come to a place of submission, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Look at verse 5 of Matthew 18. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So what Jesus was saying, that whoever accepts a humble person operating in the character of Christ, in my name, in the character of Christ, accepts him. So we have to come to understand that we, as God's people, we have to receive those that are coming in the name of Jesus Christ, coming, operating in the character of Christ, coming in humility. So we have to come to that place of accepting and receiving those who come with the message or the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6 of Matthew 18. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. People of God, these are strong words. So Jesus here was speaking of spiritual children. The argument has turned from literal children to his disciples who were learners or trainees. If anyone caused Jesus' followers to sin, the judgment that will come upon them will be worse than drowning with a millstone around their neck. So can you imagine, people of God, drowning? There's a millstone tied around your neck and you are cast into that sea. No, people of God, that millstone will keep you down there. Even if you want to try to come up and to get out, you can't, because the millstone is tied around your neck. It's holding you captive right down there. So you must drown. So we see, people of God, that Jesus was saying the judgment that will come upon those who offend his people will be worse than drowning with a millstone around their neck. So these are truly hard sayings. So we have to understand, people of God, that the punishment or the judgment that will come upon those who truly offend Christ's followers, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7 of Matthew 18. He said, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. So people of God, woe to the world. Great punishment will come upon those who cause Jesus' disciples to sin. Great punishment will come upon them. Woe, calamity, destruction will come upon those who offend God's people. But we have to understand, people of God, Jesus followers must also understand and be aware that offenses will come. Jesus said it, offenses will come. So let us remember to cast all our cares on Jesus. He will deal with it. He will deal with it. So offenses will come, but let us not keep an offended heart. Let us not keep an offended heart, people of God. Let us release those who offended us, lest we find ourselves in a spiritual prison. So we have to understand that offenses will come. Be aware of the truth that offenses will come. But we cast them on Jesus. Take this, Jesus. Forgive that one. And you deal with it for me, Jesus. So we have to come to that place of casting all our cares on Jesus. He will deal with it for us. Look at verse 8 of Matthew 18. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. So what Jesus was saying here, do not let anything or anyone prevent us from entering into everlasting life. Let us not allow anything or anyone to prevent us from entering into everlasting life. Hebrews 12:1b tells us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us or ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, people of God. We have to come to understand not to let anything or anyone prevent us from entering into everlasting life. Jesus said, if your hand or your foot cause you to sin, cut it off. It doesn't mean in the literal sense, people of God. We're not going to cut off our hands or feet, but anything or anyone who prevents us from entering into everlasting life, put them aside out of your life. Move away from them. Sometimes we have to cut some relationship, people of God. We have to sever some relationship. If they're causing us to sin, they're causing us to go down the wrong path, we have to sever those relationships. So we have to come to that place of laying aside. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the word continues, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the very shame, people of God. So we have to come to understand that we have to consider Jesus in everything. Consider him, how he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we become weary and give up in our minds. So we have to understand, people of God, we are called not to allow anything or anyone to prevent us from entering into everlasting life. We have to come to understand what is of most value or what is most important to us in our everyday life. We have to come to understand and put the things of God first. The things that are of eternal value, we put them first. So let us not let anything or anyone prevent us from entering into everlasting life. Look at verse 9 of Matthew 18. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. So we see the eye is one of the gateway to the soul. And if our soul are defiled by what we are seeing, what we are looking at, let us stop looking at what is causing us to sin. So we have to understand, people of God, we have to make up in our minds. We have to come to that place where we purpose in our hearts that whatever is offending us, whatever is causing us to sin, we have to get rid of it. We have to stop what we are doing. We cannot continue on that path which will lead to destruction. So we have to know that, people of God, as children of God, we are called to walk on the straight and narrow path. The straight and the narrow path, people of God, we cannot come with all our baggages. We cannot live like the world. So we have to come to understand that we have to now sever ties with the world and its system. So that doesn't mean that you're not going to go and evangelize and tell those that are not yet saved about Christ. No, you continue to evangelize. You continue to be a witness for Jesus Christ. But we cannot live like the world. We are now separated unto God. And we have to understand, people of God, what it means to be set apart. So we have to be set apart unto God, knowing who we are in Him. And knowing that we cannot allow anything or anyone to prevent us from going into eternal life. We can't allow anyone to prevent us from manifesting the kingdom of God right here on earth. So we have to come to understand that God is saying to us, whatever is preventing us, cast it away from us. For we do not want anything in this life, anything in this world, to prevent us from reaching that goal of having eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to make up in our minds, people of God. We have to come out from among the world and be separate unto God. God, the word of God says it, come out from among them and be separate unto me, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughter. So we have to come to understand, people of God, that God is willing to take care of us, to take care of all that concerns us. But we have to come from among the world, people of God. We are living in this world, but we are not of this world. So we can't practice the things that the world practices. We have to come to understand that we are called to be different. How many of us want to be different? How many of us likes to be different? How many of us embrace, people of God, the new life that we have in Christ, instead of embracing the world? So we have to come to understand that God is calling us, people of God, not to allow anything in this life to really prevent us from entering into life everlasting. It's easier to enter with one eye. And this was a figurative speech here. It's easier to enter it with one eye rather than having the two eyes to be cast into hell fire. So what the Lord is saying to us, people of God, whatever we are looking at, whatever we is causing our souls to be defiled, let us stop doing it and let us continue to walk in holiness and purity of heart and mind. We want our hearts to be pure, people of God. We want our hearts to be pure, and we want to walk as children of light. Look at verse 10 of Matthew 18. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus was saying, pay attention that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So we see, people of God, that Jesus was saying that there are angels assigned to his followers, his people, these little ones, those who come to him as a little child. So we have to understand, people of God, that we have angels that are assigned to us. So that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father. So that there are angels who are assigned to the little ones, to those that have put their trust in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11 of Matthew chapter 18. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And people of God, we have to understand, Jesus came to rescue all those that are perishing in their sinful state. Jesus came to rescue all those that are perishing. He came to save that which was lost. He is on a rescue mission, people of God. And no matter how far the person has gone into sin, no matter how deep they are in that mire, he's able to pull them out of the mire. He's on a rescue mission. So he's telling us the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And that lost there mean perishing. Those that are perishing in their sinful state. Those that are perishing in their addiction. Whatever form of addiction it is, Jesus is able to save you. Jesus saves. There's no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved but by the name of Jesus. So we have to come to understand that Jesus has come to rescue all those that are perishing in their sinful state. It is not his will that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. People of God, the word tells us God is long-suffering towards us. He bears with us a long time. He gives us chances after chances to repent. And he's calling men everywhere to repent. So people of God, Christ came on a rescue mission. But sinful man has to come to that place where they put their trust in Jesus Christ. They have to come to admit that they are sinners. The word of God tells us we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word of God tells us for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we can only have eternal life when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So the Son of Man, Jesus referring to himself, speaking of himself as the Son of Man, has come to save that which was lost. So Jesus has come and he is willing and ready to save those who will call upon him. The word of God says, as many as receive him, as many as accept him, in John 1:12, he gave the right to become sons of God. So the word of God says he brought many sons to glory. So he is willing and ready, people of God, to save those who come to him and call upon him and say, Lord, save me. The Holy Spirit is doing his work by convicting sinners. But people of God, when the conviction comes, we have to know that there is a decision that has to be made. We have to make that decision to follow Jesus. So it is for us to know and understand the Holy Spirit is always at work in the lives of sinful men. He's always bringing conviction. You are a sinner. You need to be saved. But when this conviction comes, we can turn from the conviction. We have to now say, I surrender. I yield to you, Lord. I give it all to you. So Christ has come to save or to rescue the lost or the perishing. But there is something for the lost or the perishing to do. They have to put their trust in Jesus Christ, the beloved Son. He's the one who came to save. The word of God tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word of God tells us in John 3:17, Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So when Jesus said here, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, he did not come to condemn anyone, but he has come to save. He is on a rescue mission, people of God. And if we call upon him, he will answer, he will hear, and he will save. He's mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to deliver. That's who Jesus is. So we have to come to understand, people of God, the mission of Jesus, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we see when we come to him, we have to understand, people of God, he's the one who is always seeking us out. He's the one who is always willing and ready to rescue us from our sinful state. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. So we have to come to know and understand that Jesus is calling us to come to eternal life. Look at verse 12 of Matthew 18. What do you think, Jesus said, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does not he leave the 99 and go to the mountain to seek the one that is straying? So Jesus asked that question. And people of God, if a man has 100 sheep and truly care for the sheep of his fold and one of them stray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountain to seek the one that is straying? So Jesus was asking this question. And look at verse 13. And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. So people of God, Jesus is here on a rescue mission. He's coming to rescue those that have strayed from him, that have gone off the straight and narrow, that have gone on to the broad road. He's willing and ready to call and to go out to seek and to find that one that is straying. So we see the Holy Spirit is working on the hearts of people. The Holy Spirit is always working on the hearts of people, bringing forth conviction so that those who are in their sinful state will come back to the fold. Those who have strayed away from Jesus, the word said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to our own ways, but the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. So we have to come to understand, people of God, that Jesus cares for us so much that he would leave that 99. He is that good shepherd, that he would leave the 99 and go to the mountain, go to the rough terrain to seek for that one sheep that is lost or that is straying. So it is showing Jesus' love for us. Jesus loves us so much, people of God, that he would lay down his life for us, that he would die, people of God, in our place. He became that sin substitute for us. So he died that we might live, people of God. The wages of sin is death. So he paid the death penalty for us. He paid the price for us by dying on the cross for us. We should have died, but he died in our place, people of God. And then the word tells us, but the gift, he gives us a gift. He gives us eternal life. So he died for us, and he also gives us a gift of eternal life. So we see the love of the Father. We see the love of the Good Shepherd, that he would leave that 99 and go to seek the one that is lost. One is important to Jesus. One sinner coming home to Christ is so important. And people of God, we have to understand that we, like sheep, have gone astray. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is always seeking for that one that has left the fold, for that one that has gone astray. So we have to understand, people of God, that the Lord is calling us to that place in him where we have that love and that compassion and that empathy for souls. Let us come to that place where we see each soul as being valuable. We want to pray and ask the Lord to give us that passion for souls again, so that we can go, as Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. He is calling us to go and make disciples, teaching, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that Jesus has said. And lo, he is with us always, even to the end of the earth. So we have to come to understand, people of God, that we have to go and be like Jesus, not forsaking that one that has gone astray, but go and seek to bring them back into the fold. God bless you all this evening, and we will continue next week from verse 14 of Matthew 18. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this evening. We thank you for your great love, for your kindness. We thank you, O God, for being so long-suffering and forbearing with us. And we pray in the name of Jesus that we will understand that it is not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we pray, O God, Almighty Lord, that we will have a repentant heart and turn to you wholeheartedly. Father, we bless you, we love you, and we honor you, O God, and we look to you by faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray and we say amen, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Blessings. In the
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.